thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
Desi, as most people in the church will be aware, you had a knee operation earlier in the year. And of course, we know from first-hand experience, or at least Esther does, how difficult a journey that can be in the lead up to it and waiting for an operation and then recovery. Can you just tell us just very, very briefly before we get down to the actual question, just how you coped with that and kind of the build up to your operation? I know that you went down to, is it Galway? And then how you come back and recovered. Thank you.
How did I cope? Well, to be honest with you, I coped very well, for I just put my complete trust in the Lord. And I went down to Galway. I had no fear, no nothing like that. I don't have that type of fear, and I just trust in the Lord, and he brought me through it, and he took us down safe, and Hazel, my wife there, she had to do the driving back up home. Excellent, excellent. We had no trouble, and we stopped a couple of times, and I had a wee walk around and back into the car and up home, and then when I got home, Hazel cared for me for 6 weeks. Drove me around and chauffeured me around. It was brilliant, actually. It was brilliant, and I enjoyed the chauffeuring around, and but the exercises on my knee was not enjoyable. It was very, very painful, but I persevered. I went on through, and that's nearly 4 months now, and I'm still doing my exercises. I'm still going through and still doing my exercises, and I believe that's what's helping me, and God is with me each day.
Lovely. Thank you so much. And was he a good boy, Hazel? Most. Okay, see, there's always two sides to a story. Hand the mic over to Drew there. Drew, you and I have a similar love for speedy things, motorbikes, etc., or perhaps trikes, maybe. What is your favourite bike or trike?
Oh, it's got to be a trike.
Okay.
With a Harley engine.
Oh, of course. Absolutely.
You know, some people that are younger than me can ride on two wheels.
Uh-huh.
But when you get older and a bit shaggy, it's better to have three.
Although that sounds in theory correct, would I not be right in saying that a trike is actually more difficult to ride?
It can be, especially going around tight corners. Mm-hmm. And not at speed.
It's best to take the corners, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And it's more of a cruiser. It's not a racing bike,
yes,
by any means.
Okay. And you will take Val on the back as well. Does that happen?
That's debatable.
Okay.
I've ordered the leathers, but we'll see what happens.
We look forward to the photograph.
Yeah, so am I.
brilliant. Thank you so much. Danny, you're a driving instructor. Can you settle something for us once and for all? Are men or women the better drivers?
I'm retired.
Now, hold on. Esther and I saw him driving the other day, a wee L plate, and he was in the passenger seat. So
just friends and family.
You're not going...
Right, well...
Okay, you are going to answer it.
I'll answer that to the best of my ability. Overall, I'd say it's 50-50 because... The men think they know what they're doing all the time. And when you try to teach a male to drive, they'll pass their test and they'll do it every way they feel like after that. If you teach a lady or a girl or whatever, young lady, to drive, they'll drive the rest of their life probably the way you teach them because they don't know any other way.
I'm not sure that was a compliment, actually.
Yes, it was.
It was a compliment. Okay, could you hold your mic a little bit closer whenever you're speaking? Just, I'm sure Clive has given me the thumbs up for that. Okay, and leading on from that, what about reversing?
Ah, well, that's a different thing.
I thought you would say that. So truthfully?
Truthfully, that has to be the man there.
Yeah. Okay, thank you so much indeed. Desi. Can you tell us where you were brought up and a little bit about your upbringing, please?
I was brought up just outside Garva and a little area called Killiecurigan, just actually where I live, not far from where I live at the moment. I was brought up, I'm one of eight of a family. I had five sisters and I had two brothers. And I was brought up in a home which my dad normally wasn't about much because he had to go to England and work because there's such a big family, and it took a lot to keep us. And so Dad was away in England working most of the time, and we were cared by our mum. But I was very fortunate when I was a young boy, because my mother was a wonderful Christian woman. I can never, ever mind my mother not being a Christian. As long as I can remember, she always was a Christian. And the reason why I'm sitting here tonight giving you my testimony is because of a faithful mother's prayer. That is why I'm here, and God answered her prayer. And I give thanks for that. But I was brought up, there, and I enjoyed my childhood. It wasn't easy, but we had some queer fun, and we enjoyed it. We had made our own fun. It's not like today. You, on the summer days, you went out into the countryside, and you made your own fun. You didn't have to depend on these phones and stuff like that there. So you made your own fun, and I had a good upbringing. I thank my parents for that.
Lovely. Thank you very much. Drew, how and where did you meet Val? And hold on, I know you're keen to get going here. Was it love at first sight?
That could get me into trouble. Of course it was love at first sight. Can't say anything else, you know. What else?
Oh, yeah, we want to know how and where you met her. Oh, this is Valerie we're talking about.
Yes, yeah. I gathered that, yeah. Did you get that, yeah? I met her at a friend's house and was introduced to her as Valerie, of course. And the next question I got the next day, it was kind of where we were set up, because the person that set us up asked her, would I go out with her? And then they asked me, would I go out with her? It was a setup. And that's how we met, and we've been together ever since. Now I know the next question you're going to ask, but don't ask it.
You're not allowed to answer this, Valerie. How long is it?
How long is it?
Yes.
We're married 47 years.
And how long did you go out with each other?
3 years before that.
Okay. So 47 and 3 is...
You're good.
I think that deserves a round of applause.
And I have a paper here somewhere. That's a certificate of endurance.
I thought you were actually going to bring it out. Okay, we'll park that one there then, will we? Thank you so much. Danny, over to yourself then. So what was your childhood like, and then into your teenage years?
Childhood bit was okay. The teenage years might not be so good. I had a very good upbringing. I was brought up with my granny. She lived in the metropolis of Mossside, which is about 8 miles from here, and went to school in Mossside. Had quite a happy childhood. Now, she wasn't a Christian then or anything like that. Didn't even go to church. But I'll tell you something, we did, because if we didn't, we'd know all about it. And into my teenage years, I just kept going to church. I got saved at a mission. Well, I can call it a mission, but there was a group of young people there from YWAM, Youth with a Mission, if you know anything about them. And they were staying at the, we called it the Crow's Nest. It was an old garage that... it was on the manse, and we fixed it up and had nights there and one thing and another. So they stayed there for the summer holidays and went witnessing to Portrush and Port Stewart and Coleraine. And of course, the first few days they were there, they'd have clapped out in Anglia. I had just got my first car and was learning to drive, and they needed some sort of transport, so I got roped in. That some of them had a full license, and obviously I transported them here and there, and that was through that. Now, unfortunately, when they left, so did our minister a few months later. Now, having said that, he was one of my best friends, that man, John McCulloch. Some of you might know him. He's passed away now, he's in glory. But John was a fine man of God, and he just left a few months after that. And well, the teenage years, I just slipped back into what I was doing before, basically.
But okay, thank you. We'll maybe pick that up a little bit later on. Desi, yes, thank you. By the way, gentlemen, this is just a little bit of useless trivia. The initials of their first names make up Dad. Okay, Desi, Andrew, and Danny. I just thought that was quite important and quite significant. It is Father's Day, but you looked at me as if I've got two heads here. Desi, how did you come to put your trust in Jesus?
It's a long story. Well, as a young boy, as I said to you, my mother was a Christian. I was brought up in the Church of Ireland Church, and I cannot say that I didn't hear the gospel there, because I did. And in that church, you would have had missions run, the church army would have came, and they preached the gospel. So I heard the gospel. And then I was, as a young boy, I was sent along in the evening to a brother in Sunday school, heard the gospel again, learned the Bible. But like many other young boys, as I got older, I just drifted into the world and got involved in not anything bad, but got involved in drinking and all that there. But how I come to know the Lord was, I was working on a building site in Coleraine, and I share this with you because it's very important for those who work at work, and it's very important to share your faith, because there was a wee clerk who works on that building site in AVX in Coleraine, and I was walking by his wee office one day going for my lunch, and he stopped me and he called me in. And he just called me in, and he just showed me some scripture in the Bible where the Jews were going back into the land, and that was a sign of the coming of the Lord. Now, when I was young, I was took along to missions, and I heard about the coming of the Lord. There was no question about that. I heard about the coming of the Lord. But God took that, and he really used that on me. And I've heard tell of ones being under conviction for, you know, a couple of 3 days and then giving their life to the Lord. I want to tell you something. I was in conviction for 4 solid years. And I see me going to bed and trying to say the Lord's Prayer, which I knew off by heart, but couldn't say it. Then later on, about that, after those 4 years, I worked in police stations and that, and I had to live in, and I met two fellow workers. One was a Church of God man, and the other was an Elam fella. And they started to witness to me about the Lord. Well, I'd done nothing with them but argue with them, to be honest with you. I tried to prove them wrong, but the more they talked to me during the day if they met me, but then when you finished at night, they were living with you. So they were talking to me again. And God really began to work in my heart and my life. So one night I was talking to the man, the Church of God fellow, he was called Sam, and I was standing, this was about 10 o'clock at night, and I was talking to Sam, and I started to tell Sam things about myself, and then I stopped and I said, oh, Sam, I'm telling you things about myself I have never told anybody. And he turns around and he says to me, Desi, you're not telling me anything, you're telling yourself. But what you need to do is tell them to the Lord. And that night when I went into my bed, I couldn't sleep. I just could not sleep. And this started to come over me. Like, I was like, the Lord just turning me completely inside out and showing me what I was like inside. And I can tell you something, I did not like it. And the more the Lord dealt with me, I cried and I cried and I cried. And I'll tell you something, we were lying in old army beds, and there was those old wire spring mattresses. And I had a grip of those in my hand, and I was pulling on those till they were actually cut nearly into my hands through remorse of the sin that was within me. And I had cried, and the tears had burned two tracks down the sides of my cheeks. And then I said, I must go and see Sam. I was saying to myself, I must go and see Sam. Well, let me tell you something. People say to you, do you ever hear the voice of God? Well, I can tell you, you do. And I've heard it, and I've heard it many a time. That night I heard the Lord say to me, it's not Sam you need. It's not Sam you need. And I knew that was the Lord. And I cried unto him that night, and I said, Lord, if there's such a thing, you see, there's still doubt in my heart, still, if there's such a thing as saving anyone, would you save me? And all of a sudden, there was this, I don't know how you would want to explain it or how you could explain it unless you felt it for yourself. There was like this flood from the top of my head, right down through my whole body, right down to my very feet. And when that passed by, I was an absolutely, completely different person. And there was, tell you something, there were those in the building site which I hated, to be honest with you. But you see, when I saw them that next morning, I could have run them through my arms. I loved them. I loved them. And you know, God put a desire in my heart from that very moment for the souls of men and women. I love talking to people about the Lord. I love encouraging people. If you're asked me what is your gift, Desi, and I'm not somebody who would say what my gifts are, but I would say I love encouraging people, and I love people telling people about the Lord. And I went through years when I was in the building sites. There never was one day while I worked that I didn't witness to somebody about Jesus. I saw souls saved. I actually saw a person healed, praying for him one night. And it was absolutely wonderful. If you said to me, do you miss anything since you retire? I would say one thing. I miss witnessing to those men about the Lord. And that's what God has done for me, and he can do the same for you.
Lovely. such a change in your heart, Desi.
It was unbelievable. Make me need to ask you. It was completely unbelievable. I was a completely new person. I was washed from the inside out. Completely new. It was a dramatic thing in my life. And you know something? The longer I go on with the Lord, it's not just an easy life, I'll tell you. There's sometimes it's hard, sometimes you have to go through things, and that's the way it is. The Lord brings you through. But I can tell you something, it's a life well worth living. And it also gave me a hunger for prayer. I love prayer. I'm not a very good prayer now, I have to say that to you, but I'm a very nervous type of a person when I'm praying, but I love prayer, I love prayer meetings, and I just believe in the power of prayer, because that's why, as I said at the beginning, I'm sitting here, it's because of the power of prayer of my mother, and that's why I'm here.
Lovely, thank you, Drew. Just before we hand over to you, a lot of you know Desi, and a lot of you have heard him pray, and I might be embarrassing him by saying this, but when Desi prays, he touches heaven, and he has such a heart for people and for souls. Thank you so much. Drew, first of all, it seems like I'm asking you questions all the time about length of time. So how long have you been walking with the Lord, first of all, and then I'll come on to the next wee bit.
Oh, now you're asking a question. I... 1977, on the 7th of November, and that's when I met the Lord.
Lovely. I'm just going to kind of stop you there because I'll lead on in a wee second. I also was saved in 1977.
Okay.
You might have been a wee bit younger than you at the time. I know we've caught up now.
Were we in the same meeting?
Brought up in a different part of the country. For those of you who don't know this, and correct me if I'm wrong, I believe it was under kind of the ministry of yourself and Valerie that Alan and Sharon came to the Lord. Is that
yes,
correct?
That was correct, yeah.
So again, it's the power and it's the ministry and the desire to see other people saved. And we have Alan, and we have Sharon in our church. And of course, I didn't know you and Val until earlier this year. But to know that you were so instrumental in leading him to the Lord is just lovely. So going back, you were saved in 1977. So what sort of events were happening around your life at the time that brought you to the Lord?
Right. Obviously, when I married with Valerie, Valerie's mum was from the Brethren Church. And she would always witness to me about the Lord and about getting saved. And literally, just in one ear and out the other, I just was not interested. And Valerie's mum had a visit from a couple of men from the Gospel Hall. And Valerie had to be she was at home at the time. So they sort of, cornered her to talk to her about the Lord. And that was it for a while. Valerie woke up one night, she woke me up and said, "Look, I need to get saved." I said, "Will you shut up and turn around and get back to sleep?" That was my immediate reaction. So the Lord took his hand off her and put it on me. And the story was, I was very friendly with a guy whose grandfather was Speedy Moore. His grandson was Derek McCauley. Now, Derek and Speedy were taking Derek's mum over to the Elam church that Bill Dunn was speaking at the time. And Bill, obviously, when you went to the church, you got opportunity to get prayer for healing. So Derek called round our house one night and shared with me that he was at church. And I honestly couldn't believe it. "What do you mean you're at church?" And he said, "Hey, it's amazing. They even play a guitar at it." And he started to tell me what the pastor was speaking about. Now, Derek was not saved at this time, but I got convicted through what he said, what the pastor was speaking about. And I didn't even have a Bible in the house, and I went down the next day to the bookshop to get a Bible, 9 o'clock at the door. Got the Bible, got home, didn't know where to read, so started reading at the New Testament, the Old Testament. And I found it pretty heavy going at the time, until someone shared with me, "Look, good to read the New Testament." So I was doing that. I was going out to church Sunday nights, Sunday mornings, midweek. And it wasn't satisfying the hunger that I had within me. Yet I was doing all the, quote, churchy things. And about 6 weeks hadn't gone past at this stage where I was just getting totally convicted and I needed to speak to someone about it. I think Pastor Bill Dunn was busy at the time, so I met John Hansford from the Baptist Church in Coleraine. And he brought me into the room, and I started to share with him how I was feeling. And in that meeting, the Lord gave me a vision of a stone jetty going out into the sea. And at the side of the stone jetty was a set of steps going down to a boat. Now, in that boat was Jesus. But I couldn't get down the steps. Something was holding me back. And he knew, obviously, what it was. So he said to me, look, Andrew, I'll say a prayer, and you can say it after me. But I felt, no, if I do this, the enemy could go back at me and say, oh, you just copied him. You didn't say it yourself. So I said to him, no, I can't do it. And it was about a few days later when I was at work on a building site during my dinner break that I gave my life over to the Lord. And that hunger was satisfied. But one thing had changed immediately in my life. I wasn't good with my language. Every other word was a swear word. And I smoked. The day I got saved, I didn't try to stop that. It happened itself, and I couldn't have swore if I tried to. And the desire for the cigarettes just disappeared. And it's been that way ever since. We've had some low times, but we've had some fantastic times as well.
Lovely. Thank you so much indeed. That's great. Danny, you're married to the beautiful Linda.
Yes, he said.
A wee birdie tells me that she was a wee bit hard to play. You know, she was a wee bit hard to...
Just typical woman.
Typical woman. She was hard. Yeah, well, so can you tell us how you met and how things blossomed and one thing or another without blushing too much about it?
We actually, met a year or so, maybe a bit more before I'll not say I picked up the courage, because at that particular time I hadn't even thought about it, but she set me up with insurance for the boys that were racing go-karts at the time, and she signed me up to pay it for them. So I did that, but that was it. I'm sure there was a year or more went past, and then she rang me up. At that time I did some photography, took photographs and stuff, and she rang me up to see if I would take her photograph, her and her daughter Emma, and I said I would, and I went out and took her photographs, and I thought they were nice photographs, and they looked well in the photographs, so I eventually got round to asking her out, and of course turned me down flat. He says, no, no.
Is this true, Linda?
Yes. Why would I tell anything else? She turned me down anyway. Not for now, but, you know, you have to persevere at these things sometimes. So I did persevere anyway, and eventually she did agree to go out with me, and ever since then, of course, it's been all the way around. You know, she won't let go of me. But... Well, that's how we came to meet, very briefly.
Lovely. And how long ago was that?
How long? That was 2004. Yeah, 19 years.
Very good. Excellent.
No, we're not married 19 years, but we met 19 years.
Great. Thank you so much. Desi. Oh, sorry, did you want to say something else? No? Last question then for each of the guys. Desi, what is God saying to you in this season of your life? I know you spend a lot of time in prayer. I know that you've a soft heart. You've a heart that and a spiritual ear that listens to God. What's He saying to you in this season of your life?
I think that God is what He's doing in my life is He's bringing things back to me, which maybe I passed by a few years ago, and he's putting a desire back in my heart for the souls of men and women. And deep, taking me, I would say, deeper into prayer. My prayer life has changed. Believe that or not, it has changed. And I'm now looking at things. I believe God has, what I'm saying is, really God has changed me and is changing me, because I'm looking at things different now than what I would have did 3 or 4 years ago. There's things happening which probably I would, 2 or 3 years ago, would have said, oh no, I wouldn't be down my street. But I have learned that it's not up to me. It's nothing to do with me. It's all to do with the Holy Spirit and letting the Holy Spirit do what He wants to do, not what I would like. And since I have got a grip of that there, God is beginning to open up things in my life that I see. And I'm not somebody who speaks out a lot about visions or anything like that, but I have had visions in my time down through the years, and some of them I passed by. But God has renewed them. He's beginning to renew them again in my spirit and beginning to show me. And it's like the Lord saying to me, You keep your eyes fixed firmly on me. Don't be getting caught up and think. Get your eyes firmly fixed on me and follow me and watch what I do. Mm-hmm. And I can see God doing, I don't know how to explain this, Pastor, but I can see God doing things that I never believed would happen. And I just pray, you know, I pray for this. I pray for the family of this church. And I pray that God will move mightily. And I see God moving in the family of the church. And I've been praying this over the years. I'm sure if those of you in the prayer meeting with you, you'll hear me praying for a harvest of souls. That's right. I thank the Lord for the ones and twos. I really, really do. But I pray for a harvest of souls.
Yes.
I long to see, I don't know how you would put it, just a mighty harvest of souls. Mm-hmm. I would long to see that before the Lord would take me home. Yeah. I would love to see that before the Lord would take me home, but that's nothing to do with me. That's up to Him. But that's what I see, Pastor. That's what I see in my time, and I feel that how God is leading me and dealing with me.
Lovely.
And it still is a lot of dealing to do.
Mm-hmm. Lovely.
Yeah.
And I know you're very excited about the mission.
Yeah.
September's our mission month.
I am. That's why I'm praying. I'm expecting a harvest of souls. I want, to be honest with you, I won't settle with the Lord for one or two. I'm just saying, Lord, no, I thank you for the one or two, but I want the harvest. I want this harvest. If you had time sometime to come along and sit down beside me, I'll share a vision with you about the harvest. And it's amazing, it's amazing. And I believe, with all my heart, I believe that I will see it.
Amen. 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 Getting excited already, Desi, even listening to you. I'm indeed. Drew, last question for yourself then. Yourself and Val have been coming along to Ballymun Elim now for, I think, maybe 5 or 6 months.
Yes, now. We have. Thanks for the bonus for getting us here.
Yeah, no problem. It's in the post, actually.
Oh, right.
It needs 2 signatures, and I can't get somebody to sign the second part of it, but anyhow. So we'll talk about that later. No, we are absolutely delighted to have you,
and
Val coming along from, I think it was the middle of January, I think perhaps it might have been our first prayer morning.
That's right.
That we had. Apart from my preaching, what do you really enjoy? I'm only teasing. What?
Do I really have to answer that?
No. What is it? And we're not trying to build up Elim here, and we're not trying to build up Ballymun Elim or anybody. But what is it that really has resonated in your spirits about putting roots down here,
yeah,
and becoming one of our church family.
Yeah. Well, it's a twofold thing. To round it off, to start with, it's like a refreshing has come upon us, and a sense of purpose. Twofold thing. My life, Desi's into evangelism, seeing people restored. I mean, I want that too, but mine also goes along the line of seeing people healed and restored from the enemy has stolen from people's lives, their health. And I had been writing a healing manual that people can be taught through it about healing. And I had laid that down a while ago. And just being back here and meeting with family again as such and getting to know people, I find that being, it's been raised up again. And we enjoy really being here because there's a, in my spirit, there's an expectation of what the Lord's going to do here.
Okay. Lovely. Amen. Amen. Yes, we'll agree wholeheartedly with that. Thank you so much. Danny, I'm kind of bringing you back because I think you touched a wee tiny bit on your conversion or your early days, and then you said you walked away. So can you tell us then how you came to know Jesus?
How long have you got?
We've actually got about a minute and a half. Only teasing you. No. Don't curtail it, please. It's important.
I think, just to go back to it, I did make a decision at that time. And at that time, that group was there, as I say, and they went to one of the local churches here one Sunday night, to the Church of God. Now, I was brought up good Presbyterian, and I went into the Church of God, and the group of people that were staying with us in Most Aid, they had all their guitars and drums and all the rest of it, and I actually thought I was at a gospel concert, but it was their church service, and I very nearly went up and asked them for autographs afterwards, but anyway, and that sparked a bit of life, and as I say, I did make that decision, but after minister left, there was a vacancy in the church, and there was no guidance as such, you know, and well, that's how I fell away very easily, actually, because I had no roots, you know, I just was brand new, but then some years later, about 5 years later, my brother, I was set up like yourself. My brother told me there was a girl. He went to the Church of God, and they told me there's a girl in there. There's a well notion of you. And they told her, my brother's a well notion of you. Anyway, I went to the Church of God one Sunday night, and I heard the gospel. I heard it really different to what I was used to. And I did recommit, as it were. And the reason why I say that is because, you know, it's never too late. You know, I'm what's most commonly known as a backslider. But look, the Lord's standing there with his arms wide open, ready to welcome you back. So don't think, you know, I did this once and it didn't work. You know, it'll not work if you don't work it. You've got to commune with him. You've got to get in touch with him. And the second time round, it was very, very different. And I got myself involved in that church. And, well, I did lots of things. I was in Boys Brigade for nearly 20 years, I think, in it. And I was in the church choir, and then I did some singing as well with a friend. That all stopped, however, in 2006. And that was the last time I sang until a certain pastor, one Sunday night about 2 or 3 months ago, asked me if I ever sung before, or if Linda and I had ever sung before. And I said yes about 17 years ago. And he says, would you sing next Sunday night? No pressure. And I said yes, because as they keep reminding me, I had a major heart operation about 3 years ago. And I said the first night I did sing, I said that I'd promised the Lord. Well, when I was praying to him, I just said, Lord, look, whatever years I have left, Lord, if anybody asks me to do something for you, I have to say yes. I can't say no anymore. One of the things whenever I was singing before years ago was I felt so unworthy. And to me, it was just Satan himself just digging and digging and digging. And I felt so unworthy whenever I was singing it. But you know something, praise the Lord, that has gone. All right? Amen. And now when I get up, I'm still nervous. But I know he's with me. And it's just so different now. You know, I could go on for a long, long time about it, but I don't know. I don't have much time left, I suppose. But no, it's great. And like yourself, Drew, we feel there's a presence in here in the church, and we are excited as well. And we're expecting big things, but we can't expect these big things if we don't do anything. So that's why I sort of called us the Danny McHenry Show tonight. It wasn't because I wanted to do everything. It was because I was asked. And a friend of mine, actually, Alex Robb, I don't know if you know Alex or not, he's a fantastic singer. He said to me, just before my operation one night, he was at a concert, and Alex said to me, he says, you know, Danny, he says, I don't push myself forward, and that would be me. I wouldn't push myself forward anywhere. He says, but if somebody asks me to do something, he says, I will do it to the best of my ability for the Lord. So I thought, right, well, I'll do the same. And that's what I'm going to try and do from here on.
Lovely. And you're doing that. A verse that comes to my mind for you in particular, Danny, when you said that is that the Lord will restore the years that the locust has eaten.
It's funny you should say that, because John Lowry, who was here a lot of years ago, he prayed that over Linda and myself.
Lovely. Lovely. Thank you so much, gentlemen. I have really, really enjoyed interviewing you tonight. I'm sure you've enjoyed listening to them. Can we just show our appreciation to them? Thank you. Yes, sir.
You never know.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.